The Rick Peterson Show on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. Sitting in for Rick, James Menney.
Welcome back. You know, you think with all the bad press suntanning has received, people might think twice about going out without protection, much less visiting a tanning salon. But visit them they do. After all, the deep glow of a Caribbean class tan tells people not only that you have the leisure time to spend it sunning yourself, but you are, by definition, cool. Problem is, it could also tell other people you're running the risk of developing any number of skin ailments, including cancer. Those hazards have made it illegal for a minor to use a tanning salon in France. There are bylaws on the books in New Brunswick. I believe they're on the verge of adopting a law in BC. In the rest of the country, there are guidelines, voluntary regulations for the tanning salon industry that states that children under the age of 16 should not use them. But that said, you have to ask yourself the question, in this day and age, why would a teenager need to go into a tanning salon in the first place? And how much of a risk are these young people running, sitting on those deep violet beds trying to turn a deep brown? Well, to help us answer that question, we're joined by Dr. Peter Vignovich of the Canadian Dermatology Association. Welcome to CJAD, Doctor.
Thank you very much.
I'll ask you a broad question first. As far as you're concerned, speaking as a dermatologist, should anybody be going into a tanning salon?
No.
Why not?
Well, it's kind of like asking me if anyone should smoke.
Is the link that clear, doctor? Is it that irrefutable a link that if I sit on that, I'm increasing my risks of skin cancer?
Yeah, there's no doubt.
None whatsoever.
No. So if you take we know that if you do something like take mice, shave the fur off, sit it under a UV lamp, and if you shine it on enough, they develop skin cancer.
Okay.
Like, there's no question.
All right, but, you know, that said, how long, one, we're not mice, and two, how long do the mice have to be under there? And do people actually spend as much time in these things as the mice did in the experiment?
Well, certainly we know that when you look at the epidemiologic studies as well with people, the more sun exposure people have had, the risk that they have of getting squamous cell carcinoma and basal cell carcinoma in particular is definitely elevated. There's no question about that, whether we're looking at human studies or mouse studies. There's no...
The link is clear.
Yeah, and the fairer you are, the greater your risk. So some of it depends as to how much exposure you have, and some of it depends on what color you are to begin with. So if you're red-haired and freckly, your risk is much greater than if you have a deep olive color.
Now, all that said, you're a practicing dermatologist, and out of your practice, how many of your patients have suntans?
Oh, today I would say probably at least a quarter to 40% of my skin cancer patients today had suntans.
Well, your skin cancer patients today, what about people, if people just come in to see you for a consultation or whatever, do people get nervous now when they have a tan?
They get nervous when they're seeing me because they know it's bad.
Yeah.
So it's usually, people tend to worry more about burns they got in the past. They're not quite so worried about tans, but usually, if someone comes in and they're deeply tanned, they kind of look at me a little bit sheepishly because they know it's not a good thing.
Does age have is age a factor here? If I'm, I'm older than a teenager. I'm rather older than a teenager.
You sound like a teenager, though.
Well, I'm that's because I'm young at heart.
Oh well.
And you know what? I don't go into tanning salons. But that said, doctor, if I did, would my risk be? And I'm not like really, really dark, but I'm not like a redhead either. But if I go in now, much older than a teenager, would my risk be less severe than if I'd gone in when I was 15 or 16?
Your risk would be less. The reason being that the effects of suntanning, similar to smoking, show up decades after the exposure. So if you were to start smoking this week, you're not going to see the effect of that in a year. You're going to see that 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the road. So, if somebody's starting suntanning at the age of 93, probably not quite the same thing. But we know that the most important sun exposure, the most important sun damage that occurs in a person's life occurs prior to the age of 14.
Well, sure, yeah. They're all running around by the pool.
And that seems to have one of the highest correlations with developing skin cancer later in life, is particularly the sun you get in youth. It does accumulate over time, so I'm not saying that, if you're in your late 20s, as you probably are,
Close, you know, doctor.
Yeah. So, I mean, so the older you are, there's still some accumulation, but it's particularly important when you're young.
And that said, you know, and you raised the sort of example of smoking a little earlier, that, you know, there as far as you and I suspect the Canadian Dermatology Association is concerned, there's no further work to be done. The link is clear. And we all of us have seen this huge campaign to make smoking the uncoolest thing that you could do, and it seems to have worked. And yet now we're looking at, you know, for most of the countries, voluntary regulations for tanning salons. People get up in arms when there's a suggestion that we actually legislate some kind of controls over tanning salons. Why haven't we seen this big tidal wave of anti-tanning or artificial tanning publicity that we saw with smoking?
Well, I think what it is just that there's just been more of a time lag. I mean, the people that have been working to stop smoking in the population, I mean, they've been working on it for, in all likelihood, a lot longer period of time. Whereas tanning is a bit more of a recent thing.
Yeah.
I would say the popularity of tanning probably really started in the 60s and 70s, that type of thing, whereas smoking became much more popular several decades prior to that.
So they've had the anti-smoking types have had a huge head start as well, because they have seen it, and as you say, tanning picked up in the 60s, and I think people have only started asking themselves questions about how much sun they get in the past 5 to 10 years. So
that's sort of, as you said, it's sort of becoming a bit more fashionable, you could say, to sort of think of it as being a bad thing. But like smoking, people don't like to think of tanning as being a bad thing. I mean,
no, because you look cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, the evidence that smoking was bad, it was around for decades, and people still wanted to deny that it was a bad thing. And the same is true for tanning.
Well, you know, I think this debate is far from over, and I think this will be, I hope we have a chance to talk to you again about this. We've been talking to Dr. Peter Vignovich of the Canadian Dermatology Association. Thank you very much for your time, doctors, and a pleasure talking to you.
My pleasure. Have a wonderful day.